This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just about 5:08. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Shamila. And we're starting off with a simple enough question. How can sejarah be taught in a way that's more effective and engaging? This comes as Senior Education Minister Datuk Dr. Radzi Jidin recently announced that sejarah will continue to be a mandatory past subject in SPM. They're not going to review it, saying instead that they'll look at the factors leading to students failing the subject and find appropriate interventions to ensure that they master it. Now, that point of failure is a very important one.
Yes. So the thing is, if you fail sejarah, you essentially are disqualified from receiving your SPM cert, right? So the reason people have continuously called for this to be reviewed is exactly that. There have been complaints about history not necessarily being taught most effectively, that it's notoriously known as a difficult subject to memorize and to pass. So this reason, this recent announcement, which came on the wake of the fact that nearly 12% of the SPM 2021 candidates failed either BM or sejarah, got a lot of attention and had a lot of NGOs basically asking the ministry to help these candidates, which I think has reopened that conversation on how we teach history and whether it's time to look at it and sort of rehaul how we do it.
And if we look at when this happened in the first place, right, it was in 2010 that this will really indicate how long ago 2010 was. But then Education Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin said history is going to be a must-pass subject from 2013 onwards. Tan Sri Idris Jusso, who was the second education minister at the time, said that this was to educate students about the basic history of Malaysia because previously people treated the subject as unimportant. So I think for the sake of our conversation, we can agree on certain things, right? Firstly, that history is very important.
Yes.
Learning the history of the world and your country, hugely important. Secondly, I think we can agree also that the way many of us remember being taught history in school is not with a great amount of fondness, and that it is often geared at passing examinations rather than holding on to the more lofty ideals that are being stated here, right? Of trying to ensure that students are taught and understand history.
I don't know how to explain this better than to say that I'm one of those people who simultaneously loves history and yet hated it deeply when I was learning it in school. And that's actually, I think, an experience that many people have. And then you often hear people come out of school and a few years later say, well, history is so filled with these interesting details and these twists and turns and all this drama, and it helps you understand your modern context. And yet I got none of that when I was learning it in school.
Which brings us to our question. Did you enjoy learning sejarah in school? How can history be taught in a way that's more interesting, more engaging? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Natusha Naidu, President for Imagined Malaysia. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity, BFM 89.9.
It is just about 5:12. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about how sejarah can be taught in a way that's more effective and engaging because it is going to continue being a mandatory pass subject in SPM, despite the fact that nearly 12% of the 2021 candidates failed either BM or sejarah. So that's just, I think, opening up this question of how it is that we teach it. Let us know, did you enjoy learning sejarah in school? How can history be taught in a way that's going to be more interesting and engaging? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Natusha Naidu, President for Imagined Malaysia. Natusha, thanks for speaking with us. To start off, how did you develop an interest in history? How much did learning the subject in school have to do with it?
Because I went through the state school system, and sejarah as a subject was not something I immediately had an interest in. It was something that developed like along with my parents' interest in politics and history. They were very engaged with human rights issues and about the changes in the government and being critical. So, and with that came an interest in relearning history and interventions from academics who felt the need to talk about pertinent or critical events in Malaysian history and how it informs our present it wasn't the subject itself, the textbook, that was like, oh, that's so exciting, that's so interesting. It was more like the questions that emerged from studying history. There are a lot of things left unanswered, and the gaps, you know, in narratives that got me really interested.
So it's been reported that nearly 12% of last year's SPM candidates didn't pass Sejarah, and that's a compulsory pass subject, of course. So firstly, what are your thoughts on it being a mandatory pass subject for SPM?
I think that the intention behind making it a mandatory pass subject was because, from what I've read about it, is that the Ministry of Education felt this is the only way to ingrain a sense of patriotism to learning about the history of the country, a very nationalist kind of sentiment. And the only way to do it is to make it a compulsory subject. Otherwise, there's no natural or ingrained interest in a student to learn history.
So one of the main reasons stated, right, behind making Sejarah a compulsory passing subject, as you alluded to there, was to ensure that students make an effort to learn Malaysian history. How can that interest actually be fostered without being forced?
History is a very interesting, very beautiful subject matter because it's about story and narrative. And because it's so diverse, it can be actually very interesting depending on whatever someone might be particularly like keen about. But history is in like every subject matter because it's part of, you know, understanding the background. And in terms of fostering an interest, I do think that the issue is not so much like the subject itself is boring, but the way it's being taught, the way it's being examined is, it's so exam oriented. So it's not about, it's not critical. And I think that element of teaching history with a kind of critical eye and using very innovative pedagogical tools as teachers, that's, I mean, I think that it's amazing that some teachers have already started to, you know, come up with their own material because they want to foster an interest without it being like being too pushy about it. And I think that encouraging students to investigate and learn about the past by themselves through their own terms and to understand the diversity of opinions and perspectives in like events of Malaysian history, that would probably incite a lot of interest. And of course, most importantly, I think a key part of not forcing it and increasing the interest is that it has to be taught in a way that makes it relevant.
So one thing that's quite interesting is that in 2013, Dato' Sri Idris Jusso, who was the second education minister at that time, said that making Sejarah a compulsory pass was to ensure that students became, quote-unquote, good citizens. So is knowing your country's history an essential part of being a good citizen?
As far as I'm concerned, Sejarah has been a mandatory pass subject for a long time. And if we think about it, can we be sure that, you know, it made some people who are in power good citizens by definition or textbook definition? So what is this idea of a good citizen? You know what I mean? Does the education minister mean that good citizen is someone who memorizes and does not question the facts in front of them? Does it mean they memorize opinions of textbook authors without thinking about what are the alternative perspectives? Does it mean that, yeah, what does it entail, you know, when they say that the like Sejarah as it is an important component of being a good citizen? There is a very limited focus on civic participation. So I'm not sure how the subject as it stands today and making it a compulsory pass would turn students into good citizens when it doesn't really even engage on the subject of what it means to be a good citizen.
So if we get down to it, right, what might be some of the reasons why students are failing the subject?
Could just go back to something as serious as education inequity, access to learning and support to study and, you know, to revise and excel at the subject. I do think that, you know, having a subject like history and taught in a way that you'd have to memorize a lot of things like the dates and names and facts, it's not necessarily catering to everyone's strong suit, and that's the issue. So, for example, I'm actually not someone who's good at memorizing dates and names. Like, my memory is really bad. I have a memory of a goldfish. It's not going to be an easy subject to pass if generally you're someone who thinks learns differently, you know? And I think that's the bigger issue. I feel like, you know, this concern about, oh, what's so wrong with Sejarah? Why is like no one passing? Why is there so many people like failing it? And it's like a hurdle. It's not, the passing is not the problem. The problem is like how it's being taught and like what effects it has on people. And, you know, on top of that, like a crutch, you know, it's like a huge obstacle for students who are underprivileged. I've known some stories of people who failed the Sejarah subject and it was difficult for them to further their education. And if they are not, they don't have financial privilege, then, you know, this can really close a lot of doors for them. So, you know, the fact that it's structured this way, I don't know, it's such a deeply rooted problem and more to do with how unequal and unfair our education system is. Zeroing in on just Sejarah itself seems like a distraction from the real problem.
Mm. And how effective is the current Sejarah syllabus overall?
What are we measuring as effectiveness? The pass rate? Is it the overall grade? You know, they use the bell curve, and what is the median? Is it not satisfactory enough? Or if you mean effective, that in the sense it makes everyone good citizens. So khaki protests like me or my friends or what, so we are considered not, if like the Sejarah syllabus is not effective on us, you know? So what is that? What does it mean, you know? And if you mean, like for me, I think there's a need to shift goalposts. There needs to be a change in how Sejarah is seen and what is the purpose or goal of learning history. Because right now, I think as we talk about this almost every other year, it is not effective or satisfactory to any party, whether you're the conservative or right wing, whether it's government or whether it's like, you know, teachers and whatnot or parents. It's just overall like not meeting anybody's goals. But I think it's because the goals need to be revised and reflect something that is meant for everyone and not just a few.
So would you then like to see a revamp of our syllabus, and what sorts of changes would you like to see?
So when Pakatan Harapan won the elections in 2018, Dr. Mazli Malik became the education minister. He set up a committee to, you know, review the school textbooks. I think then as Fahmi Reza studied and made note of, the only change was a one-pager on Hartal protest, which was basically this mass protest against the formation of the Federation of Malaya. At that time, they believed it was a very undemocratic move and served the interests of the colonial state. A lot of other parts and components of the history syllabus has not been changed. So I think like the changes that need to be in our textbooks is, one, it's more centered on primary source analysis, less imposition of one perspective, and giving students more freedom to explore and analyze and come up with their own judgment. History and events, opinions and perspectives on history exist on a spectrum rather than being either A, B, C or D. There should be more interactive work and activities to do when learning history, and it needs to be made more relevant. It needs to connect to, you know, since the government is interested in making good citizens, then, you know, a very established idea of a good citizen is someone who's an active citizen, someone who is actively aware and understands their right, the constitution, who understands the value of participating in creating a healthy democracy.
And if we expand that, right, history, especially global history, is an extremely wide area. So which specific areas do you think Malaysian students would benefit from?
It varies in different places, right? For example, is we see a rising number of Malaysians, you know, enrolling in international school and taking the GCSE, Cambridge exams. And a lot of these schools also offer history as one of the GCSE subjects, right? And it's a global history kind of syllabus. They learn about the superpowers and history of the huge wars like First World War, Second World War. They learn about the Holocaust, the formation of Israel and things like that. So I think, so, you know, in that sense that syllabus is created with kind of intention, wanting students to benefit from having a good idea of world politics and who are the dominant powers and who is the right of authority and who has the moral leadership that we should all follow in this world. And of course, it's very Eurocentric as the syllabus exists right now in the context of sejarah. If we were to incorporate global history further, I think that it would be really good if we actually learned a lot more about Southeast Asian history as a region, how it's connected and how diverse the region is, and it's very rich history. And there's just so much of interesting scholarship going on in this area that can be incorporated into learning about sejarah Malaysia. So instead of looking at things from a very narrow, rigid lens, we actually see ourselves as part of a shared culture with very long histories, and that it does not emphasize so much on differences, but more of an appreciation for those differences rather than looking at it as a bad thing.
Are there specific ways you'd like to see it taught? For instance, using different forms of instruction, maybe rather than sticking to book learning?
You know, we should normalize, if it weren't for COVID, obviously, normalize field trips to museums. And something that's a really big thing now is also, it's happening in the Ivy Leagues, but I think it can happen at the school level, which is digital humanities and this whole area of work where they're trying to teach and showcase history through using technology. So, you know, instead of like writing a long essay about a certain historical event, it could be creating a Google map of the events. And so, you know, kind of doing placemaking and whatnot. These are things that are actually already happening, but they're not happening at the level of schools. Then more activities on, you know, community level work, getting involved in NGOs and trying to learn about modern day, like issues about being an active citizen, but how history informs our perspective, and teaching, of course, all the relevant skills that historians have to learn in order to do their work.
Netusha, what would you like to leave us with?
Whoever becomes the next education minister and is interested in revamping the school textbooks, sejarah textbook, because it's a politically popular and interesting issue for the public. If they are going to do that, I hope that they really do take into account of the developments happening on a global level for historical education and engage with stakeholders who can help revamp the textbook genuinely. By that, I mean, you know, people like Fahmi Reza, who are people who have done a lot of work, and heritage activists and organizations like mine, Imagine Malaysia. And there are just so many more people that do care about the syllabus. So let's not like work on this on a very superficial level. I think we are at a time in our lives where people are getting tired of really non-sustainable policies. And that includes especially for our education system, which has not seen the results and expectations that people have. So the reform of the sejarah textbook is just a drop in the ocean of all these other problems in our political climate. So yeah, mic drop.
Natusha, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Natusha Naidu, President for Imagined Malaysia, talking essentially about the different ways in which we could be thinking about how we teach sejarah. This comes because Dr. Radzi Jidin has said that they are not going to review sejarah being a mandatory past subject in the SPM, and the larger picture of sejarah being aimed at creating good citizens, right? So we're just asking, fine, if it's going to be mandatory, then how can we teach it in a way that's better? Let us know, did you enjoy learning sejarah in school, and how can history be taught in a way that would be more interesting? You can call us, WhatsApp us, tweet us. Keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.